We present the news quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello! And welcome to the news quiz. We start with a line spotted on the BBC News website, read by Alan Smith.
Prince Charles dances enthusiastically in a grass skirt on Vanuatu. Viewer warning, this video contains flashing.
Our thanks to Lizzie Kimber for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Holly Walsh and Andy Zaltzman. And opposite them, on my left, Desiree Birch and Danny Finkelstein. So, Holly, who's been shown the Rudd card?
This is Amber Rudd, who has lost her job because she was sort of whisked up in this whole Windrush issue. She had told MPs that the Home Office had definitely not set any quotas for deporting immigrants, despite the fact that the Home Office had definitely set specific quotas for deporting immigrants. So it didn't work out well for her. And at first she denied knowing anything about it, even though she'd written a letter to Theresa May explaining that they were aiming for 10% and that they were going to nail their targets.
So if you think it's a toss-up between whether it was dishonesty or ignorance, or maybe we could competence, it could be a three-sided coin, dishonesty, ignorance or incompetence.
This is like a sort of MP version of Shag, Marry, Avoid, isn't it?
I find the current wave of resignations a bit tiresome, really. I want to see someone do something really appalling and have to resign. I want a cabinet member to be found naked with a chainsaw and a basket full of puppies. But not all this, oh, I might have done something, I might have forgotten, no, I wasn't entirely sure. Do something proper. Make resignations great again.
My favourite moment of the week was all the power stances. You know, Sajid Javid standing outside with his legs. And I basically sent off messages to all my friends saying, what are you doing? And they all denied that there was such a thing as a body coach. So I was in the House of Lords Library and I started typing and I typed in leg spread photos. And I thought, if I press that, I don't think I'm going to get... I'll be scrolling for quite a while before I get Sajid Javid.
Are you new to the
Did Damien Green's career die in vain?
Desiree, how do you feel about Amber Rudd?
So, I love that her excuse was like, yeah, I got the email, but I didn't read it. You know, like, that's kind of like, yeah, it was my job. I'm just really bad at it. Like, that's my excuse. Like, would you believe Hangover?
When Theresa May finds out who that predecessor was, she is... Be livid.
Well, I don't worry about the government reading all my emails because they're not even reading their own emails.
Is there not a way out of this, though, by just changing the way that cabinet appointments are done so it's more like jury service, where you just get a letter saying you are Home Secretary for the next 2 weeks? I mean, how much worse would it be as a percentage? They managed to wrongly deport 7,000 students, which is quite a lot. Really, because as Oscar Wilde famously said, to deport one student wrongly may be regarded as a misfortune. To deport two students wrongly looks like carelessness, and then to do that 3,500 times is borderline psychotic.
And, of course, the really exciting thing about this is her replacement. What do we think of her wonderful replacement, Sajid Javid?
I don't know how old he is. He could be anywhere between 6 months and 70.
He probably went bald when he was, like, 17, 18, and just, like, pulled the, like, baller move and was just like, nope, it's all gone. None of this Trump comb it from the back of my body over my head.
I assumed it was just for efficiency of movement that he wanted to be as aerodynamic as possible to move more swiftly between jobs in government.
Like the way he came in and just apologized.
Obviously, that's the first thing he's gonna do. Like, they've definitely been kicking brown people out of the country, and then they're gonna get the right looking guy to say, we're really, really sorry about that. Like, I mean, it's terrible because ultimately they're doing the Windrush all over again. They're getting a brown person to do the dirty work they didn't want to do for them. it's pretty astounding.
This is the resignation of Amber Rudd as Home Secretary. She was bundled off in the dead of night, ironically after it was discovered her papers were not in order. Seized from the cabinet and deported to the Bahamas, there to be reunited, if not with her ancestral roots, then at least with her money. Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson said Amber Rudd had done a great job during last year's terrorist attacks. He really will blame Remainers for anything. Theresa May has announced a public inquiry to find out what caused the Windrush scandal, and perhaps they could start by delving into the Prime Minister's childhood and finding out what caused her attitude towards foreigners. Yet again, we find ourselves asking, what happened in that wheat field? New Home Secretary Sajid Javid has been mocked for a so-called leg-spread wide power pose, which he struck for his photo outside the Home Office, a stance that says, go on, razz me in the knackers, I'll take you all on. 2 points to Holly. Andy, who's choosing whether to keep their counsel?
Well, I've just been overseas for a few weeks, and I got back this week to find Britain gripped by local election fever. a debilitating strain of it. So debilitating, in fact, that around 70% of people were too ill to vote. So, well, it's great to come back to some local politics. I've just been in New Zealand, where they struggle for major political stories to the extent where they had an election at the end of last year, and it became clear that Jacinda Ardern was going to become Prime Minister. She evidently thought to herself, I'm going to be Prime Minister of New Zealand. I'm going to need something to fill my day. Proceeded to get pregnant, just to have something to do. So, but it's been interesting sort of following it from parties. I think both parties have been landing some pretty heavy blows during the campaigning, albeit on themselves. Basically, it's a boxing match where both fighters are standing in their own corner, smashing themselves in the face. I'm interested by the mandatory voter ID trial, where people are being turned away. To be honest, if you turn up to vote in a local election, you should get a bonus free vote just for putting the effort in. Make up for all the people who don't. The problem of electoral fraud in this country is a bit of an embarrassment for this nation, because up till now, to vote, you just basically have to turn up at your polling station, point at someone's name on a sheet, say, that's me, let me vote. And they do it. And yet, levels of electoral fraud are almost nil. I mean, it just shows the apathy in this country. Even with that open goal, we can't even be asked to do that. I mean, do people not care? I mean, I'm a huge fan of electoral fraud, because I worry about political apathy, and you cannot complain about both political apathy and electoral fraud. It just shows commitment to the process. We fought 3 world wars for this. Vote as often as you can, people.
It is a tremendously easy system, isn't it? And also, for party, it would be very easy to, you know, you go and canvass, you say, are you intending to vote? Oh, I never vote. You go, OK, thank you, well, I've got your name and list and whatever. You go to all your sort of rent-a-mob van and say, right, Dave, you need to pretend that you're called Elizabeth Wandsworth, and, you know, you go in and you put your Lib Dem. I'm not saying it's the Lib Dems that do this, but their votes are coming their votes are coming from somewhere. Desiree, you must be very excited by our local elections.
Yeah, just overwhelmed by them. I loved reading all of the sort of leaflets and the misspellings and the, like, misattributions of stuff that were going on in the leaflets. Like, honestly, it's not that bad. None of them put that the NHS was going to save $350 million a day on the side of a bus.
Well, some of it wasn't even mistakes, but there was a Labour candidate in Batley East, and in his leaflet he accused the Conservatives, and I quote, he just said, the Conservatives have been shitting on us. Yeah, in his official campaign literature, which is...
That's a plus in some areas.
Yeah.
My husband and I...
My favourite slogan was, have a heart, vote UKIP.
Yeah, but whose heart?
I might do something else.
Holly.
BBC, obviously desperate for a scoop, published things you can and can't do in a polling booth. Apparently, you are allowed to poll if you've been drinking. You know, a lot of men find it hard to poll if they've been drinking, but you're also allowed to vote if you're on drugs. They can't stop you if you're high.
Is the natural high of democracy not enough anymore?
Who hasn't got very high and gone voting, hey?
Not in the local council elections, in the town elections, I would always take a huge quantity of acid. Because you've got to support local customs as much as anything.
My favourite of the leaflet bloopers was the Conservative leaflet that just consisted of nothing but dummy text. So they put in the text that was then supposed to be replaced, but no one got around to replacing it. So it began, what we're doing, stroke, have done for ward, stroke, area name. And then it said, issue one, we've done 3 lines of text about what issues, projects, policies you've already done. What are we doing in your ward area? And I think this is a more honest form of politics.
Politics is largely about perception these days. We believe the lies we want to believe. Just let people make up their own lies.
I once did an Edinburgh show. They printed loads of flyers for it. And they'd clearly not proofread it when they'd done it. And the PR people who were dealing with it had printed 5,000 flyers, and it said, finalists in the Hackney Empire New Act of the Year. And then there was a bracket that said, not impressive, find something better, question mark?
This is the 2018 council elections, or as I like to think of it, which local weirdos are going to be in charge of your bins? As we record this, the elections are still underway, so we don't yet know the results, but it does seem safe to say that by the time this goes out, anyone expecting to celebrate the great UKIP revival will be realising that they got the bunting out way too early. Some commentators say that a bad set of results for either Mrs May or Mr Corbyn could change the dynamics of what happens in Westminster. Yes, one can fully imagine that after the NHS winter crisis, stagnant Brexit talks and Windrush, what Theresa May really needs as a wake-up call is losing control of Swindon Borough Council. The parties have carried scandals into the election. The Tories have the Windrush scandal, the Labour Party are still being plagued by anti-Semitism, and the Lib Dems have been shooting horses outside their HQ for months, but no one's noticed. The Conservative message to voters has been, don't think about Brexit, think about bins, unless you're in Kensington and Chelsea, in which case it's don't think about the senseless cruelty and brutal indifference to the lives of others that led to Grenfell, think about bins. 2 points to Andy. Desiree, who's power pointing out a good deal?
Oh, so Netanyahu, he just gave a presentation called Iran Lied, in which he spells out for the Israeli press and Donald Trump how Iran has been lying about its nuclear ambitions. And so he gives this PowerPoint presentation, and then at some point, he whips away a curtain, and there's a bunch of box files from over a decade ago. It's like three full cases of box files, like Iran decimated Ryman's, put up, like, all of this out, like, oh, the information we collected. And then he whips away another curtain, and there's a wall of CDs. And it's only the shiny sides of the CDs, because, like, the other sides would have been, like, Dave Matthews Band Crash, and, like, Destiny's Child, Bills, 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 and, like, bootlegs of Adobe Photoshop 1. Like,
my theory is that the Iranians were trying to think, how do we keep our nuclear plan secret from the president? And they thought, I know, we'll write it down.
In terms of the big reveal, pulling back the cloth to reveal, as you say, a load of box files, that it lacks... I mean, there should have been, like, a scientist there with his clothes charred off down to some big spotty boxer shorts, just holding a fuse. Like, you got me. You've absolutely got me.
It literally could have been just the introduction to the film The Matrix with a bunch of numbers, and we would have been like, wow. But, like, instead, it was as though Siegfried and Roy had, like, a really disappointing straight son who was, like, desperately trying to impress them with his magic skills. He was like, ta-da. And it was just like, oh, God, no, please.
We have 60 CD-ROMs, and on this Betamax tape...
I don't want to sound incredibly tedious, but I suspect they were Lever Arch files rather than... box files. Which I think it's a bit more of a show than a box file. It's a little bit... There's something a bit funky about
them. It must be so much fun on comments on the internet.
He did. He looked like he was sort of hawking space-saving software. All these files could fit on just one of these discs. But it's all the idea, therefore, that the entire thing is devised to speak to one man, to speak to Trump. And I don't know if other sort of world leaders have little things. I can't send him a letter. I can't ring him.
He literally gets his news from watching people on television. So his advisers will literally go on television to get themselves on a show they know he's going to watch in order to give him some information that he won't read. That is, and that's not satire. He actually does that. I spoke to somebody who worked for him and said, how do you ever give him any information? And he said, well, sometimes you have to just go on television and then he'll watch it.
Couldn't they have a live feed from, like, the next room? And they're like, oh, Donald, Channel 2 now? And then one of them goes around and sort of sits down in a sort of brightly coloured studio and says,
but, you know, if you,
it's
if you...
nap time! Or... This is Benjamin Netanyahu, who this week addressed the Israeli nation about the dangers posed by Iran in what was possibly the dullest PowerPoint presentation given by a world leader since Carwin Jones forced the entire Welsh Assembly to put up with 2 hours on bilingual post-its, the long-term solution to our stationary needs. Netanyahu claimed the documents on display were proof of Iran's nuclear activity, though we never actually saw what was in the files or indeed on the CDs. My suspicion is that somewhere in Iran there's a library missing several copies of Olly Murs' 2014 album Never Been Better. It's been suggested that the presentation was deliberately simplified in order to send a message to Donald Trump. But if the Israelis really wanted to do that, they should probably have used one-syllable words and iced them onto a cleavage. Also this week, Trump's former doctor admitted that the president had dictated a letter describing his own physical strength as extraordinary, said his blood pressure was astonishingly excellent, claimed he'd lost 15 pounds in the previous year, and said that if he'd caught anything down there, it had arrived on the wind. Two points to Desiree. And at the end of round one, the scores are Desiree and Danny have four, but Holly and Andy have five. We start round two with a sign spotted in a gent's toilet in Thatcham.
Please do not touch the light switch. Lights will operate upon your movement.
Our thanks to Anthony Poulton for shining a light on that. Danny, who's gone for a two-for-one deal?
That is Asda and Sainsbury's, who've announced a $13 billion merger. Actually, my friend says he really likes Sainsbury's because they keep the riffraff out of Waitrose. One of the reasons they're doing this, by the way, is because they think that Amazon is going to get into groceries. The problem with Amazon going into groceries is they basically send you a single orange in a huge box from Luxembourg. So I'm not sure actually how that's going to work.
If you buy your single orange in a box from Amazon, do you then get a load of emails saying, we notice that you've brought an orange? We think you therefore might also like a duck. Yeah.
But the best moment, of course, of this merger was the CEO of Sainsbury's going on air and doing what every training course tells you not to do, which is singing something or saying something stupid just before he was on and singing. He was singing We're in the Money. It's like when Ronald Reagan said we're going to have a war in 4 minutes. He did that on air while he was waiting to peel off. So yeah. you'd have to avoid that.
Now, how worried are we? I mean, is this going to change the entire social and cultural landscape of Great Britain, this merger?
I'm just happy because it's more places to get nectar points. I am so bad at financial planning, that is my pension plan. That is... I have 60,000 and I'm going to live off that till I die. They're worried about Amazon, though. Like you said, they're worried about Amazon and they're also worried about the German supermarkets, Lidl and Aldi. I love those central aisles. My dad is obsessed with them. When the new Aldi opened about 2 miles from their house, my dad invited us for the weekend to stay, and he took us on a surprise trip to the new Aldi. And as he walked through the double doors and they opened up for him, he said, you see this middle aisle? You can have anything you want.
Desiree, how do you feel about this?
I mean, you know, part of me is excited because actually if you do merge Asda and Sainsbury's, you get Sassy Rabid Anus, which I really hope is going to be their marketing campaign. It's like, you better work.
That's in their Taste the Difference range.
Yeah.
And you really can taste it. Was this one rabid? I think this was... Slightly fizzy, yeah.
But, like, also, I'm part of the riffraff that does not shop at Waitrose and loves going to a Sainsbury's because I don't understand any store that thinks that Gruyere cheese is an essential, but Waitrose does. And I was just like, I gotta get out of here. So I like Sainsbury's, but I also like farmers who aren't pushed to the brink of financial and real suicide, you know, because I'm paying 10p less on Jaffa Cakes.
I would say don't worry about the Jaffa Cake farmers. I think they're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. It's a great year for Jaffa Cake growing.
This is the merger of Asda and Sainsbury's, which would create the UK's largest supermarket chain. It's been suggested that Asda and Sainsbury's are teaming up to take on Amazon, much as two ants might team up to take on a kettle of boiling water. The combined group will represent 31.4% of the UK grocery market, posing a threat to both Tesco and the real backbone of the British economy, those people who emerge from a long night of dogging to sell potatoes in lay-bys. The Competition and Markets Authority could block the merger, but given how they looked the other way when Summerfield slit the throat of Gateway, you have to say those chances are still asleep at the wheel. Sainsbury's CEO Mike Coop was caught by ITV singing We're in the Money, but people often sing inappropriate songs when they're nervous. I had an endoscopy last year. All the way through, I couldn't stop singing Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. Two points to Danny. Désiré, qui ne peut pas distinguer entre le tableau vrai et le tableau faux?
That's all I remember from high school French. But this is the story that the this painter, Étienne Theroux, or Terrace, I don't know how it's pronounced. I think the British pronounce it Seven Young Blank. But whatever his name is, he has a museum in the south of France, and they figured out that 60% of the paintings that are attributed to him are not his and or fake. Like, at one point, the art historian took a white glove and swiped left on the signature, and it rubbed off. I think there's, like, 140 or 160 paintings in there, so that's, like, 80 of them are not real. So that's right. Most of them?
Yeah.
So why is there even a museum?
I love the idea that, like, this painting is a photorealist painting of a woman playing tennis, scratching her ass. An original.
I do wonder why they basically admitted to it, because maybe everyone else has heard of Edmond Theroux or Terrace, but I hadn't, so they could have just put all the pictures back with all the names of the real people who painted them, and no one would have been any the wiser.
Yeah, the art historian could have said, I've looked at them, they're mainly fake, and they could have gone, well, we're going to get a second opinion, but thanks very much, and then when he was out the room, say, right, we are not getting a second opinion on this.
There's a bit of a problem with museums with fake stuff, and I went to the British Museum, and there was almost nothing British in it at all. Etienne Theroux died in 1922, and there were certain pictures that I guess should have raised concerns earlier, in particular, Le skateboarder avec le mobile phone.
This is a museum in the town of Elne in the south of France dedicated to the work of Pétion and Étienne Theroux, who have discovered that of the 140 paintings they own, 82 are in fact forgeries. The art historian said, on one painting, the signature wiped away when I passed my glove over it, and another was clearly just a picture of Eamon Holmes. Owners of the museum said they should have realised sooner, given how crude the works were and the fact that the local crazy man's penis was permanently covered in poster paint. Out of 140 paintings, 82 were fake, while 58 were just rubbish. Now that Elne has lost the pulling power of the gallery, all that's left is what you'll find in any small French town. Some smoking children throwing bangers at a dog, and an old man eating cheese in a Renault. We've booked 2 weeks in August, and I cannot wait. 2 points to Desiree. Danny, have a listen to this. Danny, whose dog days are really over?
Yeah, this is an absolutely lost-the-plot story. It's people providing Buddhist funerals for robot dogs. Basically, Sony's Iobo, they had sold 150,000, they finished production, and then in 2014 they stopped repairing the malfunctioning robot dogs. And so now people are basically sending them off to a place called Inizumi, and they've had 800 funerals of these Iobo dogs. I mean, I hate funerals so much, anybody trying to create an extra funeral. I always have this thing that Jewish, because at Jewish funerals, you have to go to the grave and you have to put in a spade of earth, which I'm not very good at anyway, and I'm always really worried my glasses are going to fall off into the grave. So what would you do then? I mean, you can't obviously leave them in the grave, and you also can't go in after them. And a friend of mine, he leant over, put in a clod of earth, and his mobile phone fell out and dropped on the coffin. Fortunately, his father-in-law said, I've always told you to phone her. Now you phone her, it's too late.
Do you think it's sweet in any way, or do you think it's demented?
Absolutely demented. Just the mere phrase that you used, Buddhist funerals for robot dogs. I mean, for a start, it sounds like the weirdest pressure group in the world.
Do you know, I was reading this same story, and one of the temple's priests said he didn't see anything wrong with giving robots a send-off because all things have a bit of soul. That's what he said. And I thought, God, I hope that's true, because that means my crappy inkjet printer might actually go to hell.
This is a story from Japan, where more than 800 robot dogs have been given their own traditional funeral. It's all a bit like that episode of The Vicar of Dibley, where they brought all the animals into the church, by which I mean appalling. It's ridiculous that people attach so much sentiment to technology, although, of course, when our last combi boiler failed, we gave it a full Viking funeral. All of this has made me wonder what happened to my childhood companion, a wooden spoon with a face drawn on it. Whatever did happen to Mr. Sturry? Well, I remember now, I sold him for drugs. 2 points to Danny. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they'd like to share?
This is from a small day hospital. It says, Adult Weight Management Service, Healthy Weight, Healthy Mind Group. Follow signs to canteen.
This is from the Hampshire Chronicle, sent in by Peter Cliff Roberts. On Wednesday, Michael Portillo will be giving a talk about his life at St. Swithin's Girls' School.
This is from the Sunday Times Atticus column. It is reported that Jeremy Thorpe, former leader of the Liberal Party, made a gift of a stuffed elephant's penis to Lord Avebury, the winner of the 1962 Orpington by-election on visiting their home. The current Lord Avebury recalls, "My mother Lindsay was lost for words. After he'd gone, she said, 'I'm not putting that up anywhere.'"
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Desiree and Danny have 8, but this week's winners are Holly and Andy with 10. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from Hampshire's Eastleigh Times, sent in by Caroline Franklin.
Statistics show that Eastleigh has a mortality rate of 7.1 million people per week. Thankfully, well below the national average for England and Wales.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Holly Walsh, Andy Zaltzman, Desiree Birch and Danny Finkelstein. In the chair was Miles Jupp and the news was read by me, Alan Smith. The chair's script was written by James Kettle, Benjamin Partridge and Daniel Ward, with additional material by Laura Major and Daniel Page. The producer was Joe Nunnery, and it was a BBC Studios production.